If you can't beat them, join them. The IRS is hiring. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Looking for a new job or maybe a good audit? How about the IRS? The taxing agency now says it wants to hire as many as 700 new employees who will work on enforcement. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson has more on how the effects of this may not be immediate.
These new positions are sorely needed, says IRS Commissioner John Koskinen. The agency's down 15,000 employees over the last 6 years.
Doesn't mean we're growing. It just means we're shrinking at a slower rate.
He says the IRS budget has been cut by $900 million since 2010. So the agency hasn't been able to replace employees who leave. Even with the new hires, there will still be 2,000 fewer employees at the end of this year than at the start. And those shortages have a cost.
So we estimate that the government's losing $4 to $5 billion a year in collections we're not making because we don't have enough people.
Given just how complicated taxes are, there are no quick fixes here, says Steve Rosenthal at the Tax Policy Center.
New employees are not going to be able to hit the ground running and going out there and enforce our tax rules and help taxpayers. It takes a lot of training for them to get to that level.
He says the new hires are a step in the right direction, but lots more are needed. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
A popular form of economic stimulus from Japan to Europe is the negative interest rate. Instead of earning interest, investors have to pay the bank for the safekeeping of their money. That's a way to chase money out of banks into the wider economy. The hope is these negative interest rates generate jobs, prosperity, and other good things. Well, who are the losers here? Well, says the ratings agency Fitch today, the losers are investors. Fitch estimates that investors in government debt lose $24 billion a year when central banks use negative interest rates. Also, many investors turn to riskier bonds or bonds that take longer to mature. The number of older people living in poverty in the U.S. has increased during the last few years. In America, 4.5 million people subsist on an income of less than $12,000 a year. It turns out many benefits that seniors could tap into to help pay for health care and housing are not being used. Ashley Milne-Tite reports on a campaign that's trying to change that.
Plenty of seniors don't realize how much they're eligible for, and accessing benefits can be a bureaucratic nightmare. Sandy Markwood heads the National Association of Area Agencies on Aging. She says low-income seniors could boost their budgets by almost a third.
$20 billion of benefits that are being left on the table every year unused. This is significant and can really help older adults meet the necessities in their lives.
Her outreach campaign is called You Gave, Now Save. Leonard Kay directs the University of Maine Center on Aging. He says older people in rural areas may forego benefits for other reasons too.
What you find are folks who are extremely proud, have a stiff upper lip mentality, which results in them resisting asking for help. They take pride in their ability to manage on their own.
He says if this campaign encourages people to plan instead of scrambling for help in a crisis, he'll count it a success. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Hi, I'm David Brancaccio. Thank you for listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. A lot happens while you sleep, so each morning we bring you the latest numbers on markets, money, jobs, and innovation, plus the context I think we all need to make the smartest decisions. We'd like you to help us keep our numbers strong by making a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace. And this month, your gift in any amount will be automatically doubled thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from Newman's Own Foundation. Donate today at marketplace.org. Londoners go to the polls today to choose a new mayor. The Labour Party candidate Sadiq Khan could make history if he becomes the first Muslim mayor of that vast city today. Also interesting what happens next for the outgoing mayor, Boris Johnson. He'll be free to devote himself more completely to his campaign to get Britain out of the European Union. The Brits vote June 23rd. Boris, as he's universally known, is advocating out, and that's put him in direct conflict with his old rival and schoolmate, who is now Prime Minister, David Cameron. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
Blonde, bumbling and dishevelled, an unmistakable figure addresses the reporters on his doorstep, telling them why, after much agonising, he decided to campaign to leave the EU.
I did not want to do anything to go against David Cameron or the government. But after a great deal of heartache, I will be advocating vote leave because I want a better deal for the people of this country.
Don't you believe it, says his biographer Sonia Purnell. Boris just wants Cameron's job.
Every sinew, every fibre of his being lusts for power. He quivers with desire to live at number 10 Downing Street.
She says Boris thinks that if the country votes to leave the EU, Cameron will have to step down and he will replace him as Prime Minister. The two men have been rivals since their school days at Eton. Britain's best-known private school has trained many future leaders. The Duke of Wellington said the Battle of Waterloo was won on the playing fields of Eton. This is where Boris first met Cameron more than 30 years ago.
Boris was 2 years older than Cameron. Boris was the star at school. Cameron is the Prime Minister. This rankles so much.
But others insist Boris is not solely motivated by personal ambition.
I think Boris does believe what he's saying. And he's always been broadly Eurosceptic.
Columnist and out-campaigner Toby Young says Boris believes that Britain would be better off out of the EU economically and democratically too.
It's about wanting to claw back some of Britain's sovereignty, which has been transferred to the European Union.
But that doesn't mean old-school rivalry isn't playing a part. Once again, the battle over Europe may have been decided on the playing fields of Eton. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And you'll have to be 21, not 18, to buy cigarettes in California. This starts in a month. California's Governor Jerry Brown just signed that into law. Hawaii already does 21 as of last year. Massachusetts is working on it. Some cities, including New York, Boston, Kansas City, and Evanston, have similar rules. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.